Welcome to the Republican gubernatorial primary debate. I'm SDPB's Jackie Hendry, tonight's moderator, and I'm joined by South Dakota Newswatch reporter Alexander Rafat. Mr. Doden, you have 1 minute, starting now.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you to everybody for tuning in tonight. The first thing I want to do is I want to send prayers to Jim and Teresa Eschenbaum. Jim is South Dakota's GOP chairman, and he had a medical emergency this weekend. Teresa's been texting me. It sounds like he's doing well, but he's going to need more prayers. You know, just a couple short weeks ago, we did a debate on Kelloland. Afterwards, I was surprised to see I had hundreds of messages and phone calls. People couldn't believe the stark contrast between what the politicians sounded like and what I sounded like. Well, what can you expect to hear from me tonight? More of the same. I always speak right from my heart, and I will continue to do that, and I will speak directly to you folks at home tonight. Again, thanks for tuning in.
Up next is Congressman Dusty Johnson. You have 1 minute, starting now.
What makes a good governor? Somebody with a vision or somebody who gets things done? Actually, the best governors have both. They dream big and they deliver results. Now, it's true, this campaign, I've talked about a lot of big ideas, proven policies to improve education, grow our economy, and keep us safe. But it's not just ideas. I'm a guy who's gotten things done as well. As chief of staff to Governor Dennis Dugard, I helped cut $127 million in state spending. In the private sector, I created jobs. And in Congress, I work with Donald Trump to secure the border, eliminate woke from our military, and cut taxes. Those are real results. South Dakota is a great state, but in some key ways, we're falling behind. It's going to take energy and vision to build the best South Dakota, and that's why I'm running for governor.
Governor Roden, you have 1 minute, starting now.
Hi, I'm Governor Larry Roden. You're going to hear a lot of talk tonight about plans. We've delivered results. Let's get one thing out of the way before we get started tonight. The other three men up here want my job. But first, they have to prove that they deserve my job. But being governor isn't about being a smooth talker. It's about delivering results. And I've proven my ability to do that. In my tenure, we delivered the largest property tax cut in the state's history. Our economy is growing, and our crime rates have decreased by a large margin. And our people are the freest in America. And I hope that the people will allow me to continue keeping South Dakota strong, safe, and free. Thank you.
Speaker Hansen, your minute starts now.
Well, thank you very much, and good evening. My name is John Hansen. I'm the Speaker of the South Dakota House of Representatives. I'm from Del Rapids, where I live with my wife, Sheila. We got six young kids. Our oldest is 14. Our youngest is 2. We love South Dakota small towns. We love big families, and we love Almighty God. I'm a Christian. I'm a conservative Republican, and I have been in the political arena in the fight for you and for your family and for our conservative Republican values that make our state great. And I don't just talk the talk. I have been leading the way on the largest property tax cut in the history of South Dakota, on affordability for you and for your family, on protecting private property rights for our farmers and our ranchers and our landowners. I dedicated 2 years of my life to lead the effort to defeat constitutional abortion amendment G and keep South Dakota pro-life, and I fought for common sense in our culture. I am in this race for governor to put you and your family first again, not the special interests, not the big money, and together we can restore leadership in peer that is truly of the people, by the people, and for the people.
We'll move on to our first question. Each question is directed to an individual candidate. We'll go left to right for rebuttal, but I will cue you as well. Our first question from Alexander Rafat.
Mr. Doden, the state has been involved in many business developments. Give a specific example of a past state-involved project or economic plan that worked well or one that failed, and what lessons it has for the future.
Listen, there has been people in this race that have indicated somehow the only person in the race that has real-world business experience is somehow anti-business. It's absolutely laughable. I will be the most pro-business governor this state has ever seen. When you start talking about economic development, everybody immediately, today anyway, in 2026, focuses on data centers. Data centers have been the biggest topic in our state. Data centers are coming in all over the country, that's true. But I've traveled this state exhaustively for 2 years, and I've talked to tens of thousands of voters, and there are apprehensions across this state. And I have said this from the get-go with all economic development. It has to work for the people that live here, and we have to rely on local control. The people in a localized area have to want an economic project for it to be put in place to be built. And a lot of the people around the state have a lot of reservations about data centers. And so I said it in the first debate, I'll say it again tonight. I will look as governor at every economic project that we have available to us here in South Dakota. It has to make sense for the people. But I can promise you this, and I'll promise you this every single day as your governor, I will never use taxpayer money to subsidize multi-billion dollar out-of-state development projects.
Congressman Johnson, you're next.
Yes, what business developments I'm most excited about, it's where those founders, those South Dakota men and women, form great businesses. Think Muth Electric and Mitchell, Market Beat here in Sioux Falls, Property Meld in Rapid City. I know those founders. Now, if we want a South Dakota that has even more of those success stories, we need to be the best state in America for business. We're not. In the most recent survey, we ranked 35th. We have got to get those scores up. And a part of getting those scores up, we're making sure our taxes are low. We're not doing such a good job of that right now. In fact, in the last legislative session, the governor signed 3 different sales tax increases into law. Now, for a state where affordability is our biggest problem and higher costs are the biggest barriers to those small business startups, those higher taxes are not going to help.
Governor Roden, 1 minute.
Well, thank you. I'll start with, I thought we were done with the DCBS last debate, but I see we're at it again. Aside from that, I am focused on results, and I hope we focus on results here tonight, because South Dakota has proven the results. When I first became governor last year, after session, I went and spent 6 months doing Open for Opportunities tour. And you look at what we've accomplished in the last few years, in the last few months. We've had the 3 largest economic development projects right here in South Dakota. We just announced 2 of them here in the last few months here in Sioux Falls. That combined with the prison deal, we have harvested a great number of pieces of opportunity, and we're just getting started. We've become an example to the nation in providing for opportunities, getting government out of the way and letting small businesses succeed. So that's what I'm going to continue to focus on if I have the ability to remain governor.
Speaker Hansen, 1 minute.
Well, there's countless examples of small and medium-sized businesses that line the main streets of every town in South Dakota. Those are who I'm fighting for our South Dakota small businesses and entrepreneurs. Now, there are others in this race who wouldn't do that, and instead, they want to take their tax money, their hard-earned tax money, and redistribute it to large, sometimes out-of-state corporations. And I just think that's totally wrong. I think if you look at what has made South Dakota prosperous, what has made our economy grow in South Dakota, it's not the crony capitalism and the corporate welfare that some of my opponents want. It's freedom in the free market. That has been the biggest economic driver in human history and South Dakota history. And so I'm not going to take the tax money of our South Dakota entrepreneurs and give it away to big companies. I won't do that. Instead, my focus will be on them, on our main streets, and helping businesses thrive through low taxes, low regulation, and the free market.
Our second question related to agriculture, we will start with Congressman Johnson. We received several viewer questions about the plight of farmers and ranchers. South Dakota producers are facing low commodity prices, high input costs, and in some areas, an extended drought. As governor, how will you support farmers and ranchers in the ag industry in South Dakota?
Yeah, twice in the last few years, I've been named the most effective member in Congress on agricultural policy. Now, I get those awards because I know how to run a planter or I know how to pull a calf. Instead, I know how to work hard and I listen. And Jackie, what I've heard from producers is that input costs are the number one biggest challenge facing them. And if we think that tools and grain bins and fencing are expensive now, just wait until those additional sales taxes hit. For so many South Dakota families, much of what they buy could be hit with a total of 10% sales tax once all three of those new sales taxes are put into effect. That is going to make it a lot harder for our farmers and ranchers to be able to transition their operation to the next generation. Now, some of the things we can do, make sure that we're investing in our two-year colleges and our four-year colleges, particularly those that focus on precision agriculture and agriculture technology. My plan, Launch South Dakota, which will allow South Dakota founders to be successful here, that's also gonna help those ag-based businesses. And with a little bit of luck and a lot of their hard work, the next Poet, the next Raven is gonna be right around the corner, and that will absolutely help South Dakota agriculture.
Governor Roden, 1 minute.
Well, I will say one thing that I've worked on dramatically in my tenure and prior as lieutenant governor is trade. South Dakota was last in the nation in as far as international trade. We've changed that in the last 3 years. I led the first trade mission to Mexico 3 years ago. My lieutenant governor just got back from a trade mission a while ago. And we've met with great success, and we've introduced South Dakota to the world, and we're really well received. And so that's been a great source of encouragement. We have a lot to be optimistic in South Dakota, and we've invested in value-added agriculture. But I want to take a few seconds to go back, because it still hasn't stopped, this rhetoric about sales tax. That's baloney. The sales tax he's referring to, Congressman Johnson was going to use the exact same dollars for his property tax plan that was a complete failure. It would have been throwing money into the wind. Aside from that, it was using the same 0.3% that's coming on board. I don't know where he comes up with a 10%. It's complete fabrication.
We've got 30 seconds for rebuttal for Congressman Johnson before we move on.
So let's be clear. Larry's talking about one of the sales taxes that he and I agreed on. The second sales tax and the third sales tax that he signed into law.
Which are local option sales tax.
One at a time, please.
Governor, you can explain this away as much as you want, but a new tax is a new tax. And the reality is you voted for 400 new taxes and fees over the course of your career. This is just more of the same.
We need to move on with this question, please. Speaker Hansen, how will you, as governor, support farmers and ranchers in the ag industry in South Dakota?
Well, that's a great question. I appreciate it. You know, coming from my wife's family is farmers and cattle producers, ag has always been very important to our family. And, you know, one of the most recent examples of a real attack on our ag producers was when an out-of-state foreign-backed company tried coming in and taking their land and using it for a Green New Deal carbon pipeline, whether they liked it or not. And I stood on the front lines when others weren't there. I stood on the front lines and defended their private property rights, and I will always defend the land rights of our South Dakota ag producers. I've also said that I will work tirelessly to end the Green New Deal policies that we've seen, including the carbon pipeline. We will become the Green New Deal graveyard in South Dakota under my administration. I've also supported local processors. And there's one thing that I think was a mistake in the past that I would undo on my first day as governor, and that is combining the South Dakota Department of Agriculture with the South Dakota Department of Natural Resources. I think the South Dakota Department of Agriculture deserves its own department away from the people in the Department of Natural Resources. I would create the Department of Agriculture again on day one.
Mr. Doden.
I think a lot of folks in this country have forgot very quickly that Joe Biden left our economy, including our farmers and ranchers, all over this country in turmoil. And so I've traveled this state exhaustively for 2 years. I've talked to thousands of farmers and ranchers, and they tell me that we are still over-regulated compared to our neighboring states like North Dakota. And number two, and Congressman Johnson is right, input costs have massively increased because South Dakota has become less and less affordable. It's largely why I'm here, is to bring back affordability to South Dakota, and that definitely goes for farmers and ranchers. And the third thing is, I am committed to phasing out property taxes as part of my affordability plan. That's not just for single-family homeowners. That's also for farmers and ranchers. We are going to make South Dakota affordable again. We're going to bring input costs down. I think it's why so many farmers and ranchers in this state are so excited that an outsider finally ran for governor.
Our next question from Alexander Rafat.
This question is for Governor Roden. New men's and women's prisons are being built, but many voices, from lawmakers to law enforcement officials, say the state is not doing enough to make sure people who leave the correction system do not return. What initiatives will you lead to reduce reincarceration?
Well, that's a great question. And, we have done a great deal already. In fact, prior to having our special session on the prison, I announced a task force on recidivism. Our lieutenant governor is chairing that task force. We had an initial problem with parolees, absconders, and we dealt with that problem. And just in the last few days, I had a long conversation with Sheriff Mueller from Pennington County, and he'd been working with members of my staff on the issues that are coming up right now as far as parolees. And in fact, we're going to be announcing shortly how we're going to address that. But that's just a small part of what we're addressing with the task force on rehabilitation. We have invested huge efforts, and we've got a large amount of time. I think that task force has met twice now, but the task force as a whole is only part of it. The rest of it is they have subcommittees dealing with different aspects of that, and we have till 2030, when the prison's done, to have that whole plan in place. And we're already making big leaps as far as preparing for that prison to be up and running. And I would also say we've already, the women's prison will be going online, and we have a program for rehabilitation for...
We are at time.
Okay. For drugs for 96 women.
Speaker Hansen.
Well, one of the reasons that I voted against the construction of the $650 million prison is because, number one, I thought it was too expensive. But number two, the leadership was failing in the Department of Corrections to do some of the reforms that we desperately need behind bars. In fact, it led to the resignation of the Secretary of Corrections at the time. And so, I've talked to a lot of people who have gotten out of prison and haven't reoffended. Many, many conversations, in fact. And I'll tell you, the three ingredients to successful recidivism in South Dakota and elsewhere, pretty simple, actually. It's faith, it's family, and it's purpose beyond themselves. And if you have a leader who's willing to go behind the bars and actually foster those three things we were losing under the old secretary. Now, if we have a new leader, a new governor, which I'm willing to do, to go in and foster those three things, faith and family and purpose beyond themselves, we will see recidivism decline dramatically in South Dakota.
Mr. Donen.
Well, this reminds me of what our Attorney General, Marty Jackley, did. Marty Jackley went to federal court and sued the big drug companies in their backyard, and he beat them. And he got a $100 million settlement for the state of South Dakota. Now, I agree with Marty. That money should go to rehabilitation, treatment, and prevention services. I've talked to the experts in this field, and they will tell you that that's how you reverse a rising drug epidemic. That's how you lower recidivism rates, rehabilitation, treatment, and prevention services. Sadly, Governor Roden and Congressman Johnson recently have came out with new plans. They don't want to do that. They want to take that $100 million. They want to put it in a government slush fund, make another new big government program, and dole the money out as they see fit. I can tell you this, as governor, we are going to crack down on the thugs that are selling drugs to our family members. That's number one. And number two, we are going to get serious about focusing on rehabilitation, treatment services, and prevention services. That's how we will reverse the rising drug epidemic.
Congressman Johnson.
Well, the parole system in this state, which is overseen by state government, is failing. And you don't need to take my word for it. Talk to the state's attorneys, the mayors, the sheriffs, the police chiefs, particularly in the Sioux Falls and Rapid City area. Tonight we've heard that the problems with parole are fixed. I'm just sorry to tell you that's not true. Last Monday night, seven parolees under state supervision were arrested in Rapid City by the police. Seven in one night in one city. I mean, what are we doing here? We have the third worst recidivism rate in America. 50% of the people that we let out of prison commit another crime, break into another car, sell meth to another kid. We have to do better. That's why I have worked with Sheriff Mueller, Sheriff Tom, State Attorney Hager, and others to develop Safer South Dakota. That will fix parole, and it will crack down on drug dealers.
Governor Roden, you would have 30 seconds if you wish.
Yeah, well, we're addressing that. And I would say there's a number of responses, and I'm sure I won't get to them all, but part of the task force that I would mention, part of the action they've already taken is a seminary component as part of that rehabilitation program. And the parole problem is going to be fixed, and a lot of the rhetoric was specific to certain circumstances. But like I said, I've had conversations with Sheriff Mueller. He was optimistic. I'm optimistic. We're going to get together and have a conversation. We're going to take care of a lot of the problems that are pretty isolated in a lot of ways.
Our next question begins with Speaker Hansen. All four of you have indicated you are proud pro-life and pro-family candidates. South Dakota's ban on abortions except to save the life of the mother has been in effect since the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade in 2022. Has the pro-life movement in South Dakota accomplished its mission, or do you have any additional policy proposals?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, over the course of my time in the political arena, I have been at the head of the pro-life movement in South Dakota. I led the effort to defeat Constitutional Abortion Amendment G and keep South Dakota pro-life. Before that, I was active in passing pro-life laws, not only to protect unborn babies, but also mothers and fathers who are experiencing questions about whether to continue their pregnancy. That mission continues today. There are still abortion-minded mothers in South Dakota who are struggling to make a decision of whether to keep their baby or go somewhere else and terminate the life of that whole separate, unique, living human being. That has been one of my main focuses in the legislature, is not only looking out for the life of the unborn, but also looking out for those moms and looking out for those dads and helping them and giving them the resources that they need to make the decision for life. And so that mission has continued, and it's going to continue into the future.
Mr. Doden.
Well, thank you very much. And John did do a lot of great work on Amendment G, as did thousands and thousands of the rest of us around this state. I think sometimes he tries to take a victory lap on things and make it sound like he did it by himself. I've yet to meet a good constitutional conservative in this state that wouldn't fight for every last unborn child. Listen, I believe life begins at conception and ends at natural death, and there ought not be anything in between. No ifs, no ands, no buts. It is sad, though, that in a state that has so many things great going for it, that this state has become so unaffordable that we have young mothers that are having to make a very fateful decision. The overwhelming majority of young women that choose abortion, they're not bad people. They're stuck in a bad position. We have to make South Dakota more affordable. We have to get these young women the resources they need. And as Charlie Kirk would have said if he were still here, we have to pray for these young mothers.
Congressman Johnson, has the pro-life movement accomplished its mission in South Dakota, or do you have additional policy proposals?
We still have work we need to do. There are still abortion-minded mothers in this state, and I gotta tell you, just from a personal experience from my family, I know that that's a life in the womb worthy of protection. And with Amendment G, I shared that personal story. I mailed 3 letters to every voter that I had assessed was persuadable on that topic throughout the whole state, because I felt like it was time for us to make it clear that Amendment G was extreme, and that there were things we needed to do as a state to help mothers in crisis. And obviously, we have to help the children after they're born as well. We need a K-12 system that works for them. We shouldn't be cutting K-12 $13 million, as was proposed in the governor's budget address. We need strong services. We do need faith. We need leadership from state government. And we do need a strong school system.
Governor Roden.
Well, I think, obviously I've spent my political career and I've worked on a lot of pro-life legislation, fought that fight for many years. We always have to be vigilant. We've come a long way, in the overturning of Roe versus Wade. But even this year, we had a situation come up where a company was advertising abortion pills in South Dakota. I immediately contacted our attorney general, and we dealt with that. And we passed laws to ban abortion pills in South Dakota and the mailing of them to South Dakota. So we will always have to be vigilant on that front.
This question is for Governor Roden. Governor, you have celebrated that South Dakota leads the nation in fertility rates, but South Dakota has also seen infant and maternal mortality rates trend upward in the last 10 years, according to a recent report by the State Department of Health. In addition to the department's new 5-year initiative to improve those statistics, how might you support maternal and infant health in South Dakota?
Well, I think we have to continue to invest in the research and finding out exactly what the source of those issues are and what's causing them. Obviously, we have a lot of issues with in some of the Indian health care in South Dakota. And we've been taking steps to try and address that. A lot of the federal health care that we rely on is substandard. And so I think that's one of the key issues, if you're just purely looking at numbers, that's an area that we really need to focus on, is Indian health care services in South Dakota.
Speaker Hansen.
Yeah, well, it's a really important question. Our young babies and their moms, as I indicated in my last response, have been a focus of mine in the legislature. And so as governor, you know, we would want to do everything that we can do and surge resources in particular areas of need, including on our reservations, to make sure that mothers are equipped with the knowledge so that they know the proper techniques to care for those young babies and make sure that they're protected, that sleeping techniques are good, that, you know, travel techniques are good, you name it. And so in my mind, you know, when I've looked at my, you know, time in the legislature, it's been the youth of our state, the babies, and the parents that have been a particular focus of mine. And so I will surge resources in those areas to make sure that we're taking care of people, getting them the education and the resources that they really need.
Mr. Doden.
Listen, South Dakota has the highest birth rate in the country. And sadly, many of our counties, I think more than half, don't even have birthing centers. This is an issue on and off the reservation. Rural health care in South Dakota is the worst it has ever been. We have 3 health care companies in this state. We have Monument, we have Avera, and we have Samford, and they do a great job. But as governor, I can tell you, and this is one of my health care priorities, is to work with the leadership of all 3 of those healthcare companies and put some positive leverage on them to spend more money, to target more specific rural areas, and spend some of the money, not just in Sioux Falls, not just in Rapid City, but specifically target areas across rural South Dakota where we can put up some nice healthcare facilities. That is the only way we're going to start reversing some of these terrible rural healthcare issues we're having.
Congressman Johnson.
We do have a maternal health care crisis in this state, but I'm actually excited about this, Jackie. I think we have an opportunity to make real improvements. Right now, so a huge number of these mothers-to-be are on Medicaid, and we don't do a very good job of managing the Medicaid program today. I've talked to former secretaries of social services, and they tell me, yeah, if you want Medicaid to be a welfare program, social services is where it needs to be. I'm going to move Medicaid into the Department of Health so that it can be a health care program instead. Our state needs a Surgeon General, somebody who can think in an innovative way about how to better deliver care, especially for our Medicaid population. And so I'm going to appoint a Surgeon General, and we're going to take a look at these Medicaid populations, our neighbors, these mothers who need our help. We're going to get our arms around this, and we are going to drive down the maternal mortality rate.
Our next question begins with Speaker Hansen. We received several questions from viewers and readers about civility in politics. One came from a Republican Party county chair from a rural area, and he says they're having trouble getting people active in the party. He asks, what are you going to do to unify the South Dakota Republican Party as governor?
Well, it starts with us. It starts with each of us, one person at a time, working together with people who we don't always agree with, to focus on the issues, not the personalities, but the issues. I've proven myself able to do that in my time as the legislature, in my time in the legislature. You know, there's a lot of people who come into the legislature and disagree. And you have to be able to navigate those differences and understand that, you know, you might disagree on this one, but on the next one, you might agree. And so probably not the best idea to go burning bridges. So that's how I've lived my life. That's how I've shown an example of leadership in the legislature. And we've been very successful in doing so. We've been able to pass monumental legislation through our legislature because of the ability to just go and work together with people. So, you know, I think if we look at these on the issues and try to set the personalities aside and focus really on what the people want us to focus on, which is results for South Dakotans, if we're willing to do that, then I think we're going to be successful. It's what I've done in my time in the legislature and what I'll continue to do as governor.
Mr. Doden.
Well, there certainly is a rift amongst the Republican Party in Pierre. Leave it up to a politician like John, and I'm sure Larry will back him up, that they've been in politics for 40 years combined in South Dakota. I've never been in politics, yet somehow I get blamed for the rift in the Republican Party. Fact of the matter is, I'm the only one on the stage tonight that has 30 years of real world experience. And what did that real world experience look like? Building unity, building amazing teams, bringing in really successful leaders, giving them a visionary path, removing obstacles, and then holding them accountable. All I've done for 30 years is build unity. I'm the only candidate in this race that's going to go to Pierre and build unity because I see the best in people and I'm forward thinking. If anybody on this stage was capable of building unity in our South Dakota legislature, why hasn't it been done?
Congressman Johnson, you're next.
My politics are about addition and multiplication, not subtraction and division. Lord knows we need more of that in politics today. And it is true. If you're going to get things done, you do have to work with people you don't like very much. And I've got a track record of doing that. Obviously, in Washington, D.C., it's a pretty rancorous environment. And yet I've passed 28 bills into law or got them otherwise implemented. You can't do that. If you can't work with a broad cross-section of the Republican Party, you can't do that. If you can't find at least a few votes on the other side of the aisle as well, and you can't do that if you're not able to get the President of the United States, Donald Trump, to sign your bill into law. And so I've been able to do that. And it does take building bridges. It isn't always easy. Like everybody on this stage, occasionally I've got a little bit of a temper too. But over the long haul, I think we need to have folks like myself who have a track record of getting things done in government and out of government with having civility at their core.
Governor Roden.
Well, I'm going to go back to results. A year ago, 15 months ago, when I took the reins with a new class of legislators, there were a lot of wild cards. And there was a lot of skepticism about whether we could get anything done. And in part of my State of the State address, a big part, I said, the pillars of my administration were going to be openness, responsiveness, and civility, with an emphasis on civility. And I carried through with that. And I talked to legislators. I was initially criticized for being too accessible, but I spent a lot of time on the third floor talking to legislators, talking to citizens, talking to people, and building coalitions. And we've seen the results of that in the last two sessions. The prison deal, after it failed last year, nobody thought it stood a snowball chance in hell of getting across the finish line. We put a team together, we worked hard, we built relationships. This year, look what we did with property taxes. For 2 years, over 100 bills were passed. Only three passed.
We're at time. Next question.
On the subject of taxes, this one for Mr. Doden. Recent bills passed by the legislature entail, in some fashion, a decrease in property taxes in exchange for an increase in sales taxes. Some critics say these measures shift the tax burden toward lower-income households. Meantime, Mr. Doden, you have proposed eliminating property taxes altogether. How do you respond to concerns that this focus on property taxes is unfair to some South Dakotans?
I agree. It is unfair to the renters. 40% of people in South Dakota today are having to rent rather than own. That's why my affordability plan addresses them as well. But listen, I've traveled this state exhaustively, and I'm here to tell you, every single resident of South Dakota is being significantly negatively impacted by property taxes. And yes, phasing them out is part of my affordability plan. We have to go to peer and cut spending. We have to cut discretionary spending at the county and the state levels. And yes, we have to dig in and find the waste, fraud, and abuse. We have to make our state government more fiscally sound. My administration will do that. Number two, we have to find new revenue sources to help fund our state government, and it can't be on the backs of the taxpayers. We've already identified external revenue sources that will help us fund our state government. And lastly, our economy has flatlined. We've taken the same sales tax revenue today we did 3 years ago, but we're spending 40% more. We have to have a governor that can grow the economy and widen the tax base. We don't need new taxes. We don't need higher taxes. We need more tax revenue. I will grow the economy. We will have more tax revenue. I will bring in external revenue sources. And yes, I will cut spending. And when those three lanes converge, we are going to have a strong South Dakota economy. And it will turn out annual budget surpluses large enough to, yes, phase out and eliminate property taxes for the residents of South Dakota.
Congressman Johnson.
Now, Larry and John have said that they've lowered your taxes. They have not. They've raised them. In fact, the governor signed three different sales tax increases into law. Now, he's going to tell you that's not true, so let's just break it down real quick. There's the 0.3% increase. Many of us agreed on that. You have an additional 0.5% increase that the counties can trigger, and you have an additional 1 penny increase that cities can trigger on top of that. You add those together. Those are the largest sales tax increases in state history. It's a larger sales tax increase than the last 7 governors combined. Affordability is a major problem in this state, and not just for renters or for people who don't own homes, but certainly for them. Their affordability problem got a whole lot worse. And I would say this about eliminating property taxes. The math just doesn't work. I don't know what external revenues are, but the tourism tax brings in $80 million. All of the property taxes in the state are $2 trillion. Hopes and dreams didn't work for Obama, and they're not going to work for eliminating property taxes either.
Governor Roden.
Well, you're entitled to your own opinion. You're not entitled to your own fact, and that's just a skewing of the numbers. The 0.3 is set to go on automatically regardless of what we do. The legislators were always thinking up ways they're going to spend that dollars. I thought the best way, the best plan would be to give it back to the people in the form of a tax cut. And the numbers about the tourism are skewed as well, because the half cent for local option on the property tax relief, the Senate Bill 96 half of it, that's fundamental, just common sense. The counties that were hit the hardest are also the counties that have the highest tourism revenue. So we're allowing our out-of-state guests to pay offset part of that property tax. So the numbers don't equate to what it does in reality. So not to mention the fact that in my career, I have cut more taxes than any legislator I know. I was responsible for carrying the repeal of the trucker's tax. I'm out of time, so I'll shut up.
Speaker Hansen, you're next.
Well, I fought to reduce the property tax and sales tax burden on the people of this state more than anybody else in this race. And when Toby and Dusty talk about this issue, they sound like the most stereotypical politicians I have ever heard. Here's the reality. They both had plans similar to what I did in the biggest property tax relief in state history. The only difference is now they don't like it because they're fighting for their own political future. I'm fighting for your future. And so that's why when the temporary tax on sales tax was set to go up, when the temporary tax cut was supposed to trigger and go away, and that money was going to flow into the state of South Dakota, we had a choice to make. And the choice was either use that money to grow government and grow bureaucracy or a different path. And I led down a different path. And what we did was we put all that money back into the pockets for the purpose of property tax relief. It is the biggest one-time property tax cut in the history of the state of South Dakota. The people will see real benefit from that, and we're looking out for them and putting the people first, not our future political careers.
We've got 30 seconds for rebuttal for Congressman Johnson.
Okay, so there's been some allegation here like tourists are going to pay this. So let's be crystal clear. When cities and counties trigger this additional 1.5 cents, and that's not what John Hanson's talking about. The property tax plan that John Hanson rolled out, one that, listen, I'm relatively fond of. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the other two sales taxes Larry Roden signed into law. The local sales tax is going to go from 2 cents to 3.5 cents in some places. That is not going to be just paid by tourists. That's going to be paid by everyday South Dakotans.
Time.
I would also like to point out that John mentioned my name, so I should get a rebuttal.
It is
too.
Governor Roden's turn for now. We have 30 seconds for Governor Roden.
Well, I'm just reminded in the introductory remarks at the beginning, Representative Johnson mentioned that they had cut so much from the budget when he was chief of staff. That would have been the first year when we were faced with a dramatic 12% cut, and that was true. What he failed to mention is in consequential years, that same administration was responsible for the two largest tax increase, fuel tax and the 0.5 sales tax in the history of the state.
We are at time. We will give 30 seconds for Mr. Doden, and then we will move on to the next question.
Well, first of all, just a quick fact check. I know you didn't do it on purpose, Congressman Johnson, but he said South Dakota property tax is $2 trillion. It's actually $1.8 billion, not $2 trillion. And secondly, the property tax relief bill that Larry and John partnered on raised the sales tax 19% in South Dakota. They didn't cut any taxes. They gave you a little discount on property taxes, but you're going to pay it back in sales tax. It's what politicians do. They just shuffle the money around and try to convince you they fixed something.
We'll move on now to a question about education, starting with Congressman Johnson. Congressman, in the Kelloland debate, you referenced education reform that skyrocketed Mississippi's fourth grade reading scores. A New York Times report noted that in addition to curriculum changes, Mississippi also instituted accountability measures for schools, investments in pre-K education, and a practice of holding back third graders that score poorly on reading tests. What kinds of education reform would you support to improve South Dakota's elementary reading scores?
At first, just 30 seconds. At the top, Larry mentioned that we're coming for his job. And it's not his job, let's be clear. That job belongs to the people of South Dakota. He holds it in trust for a little while, but it is not a property right. We're all doing a job interview, and I don't think anybody should lay claim to that job. Now, as far as education, Jackie, yes, frankly, the reforms that have been done in Mississippi, the reforms that have been done in Wichita Falls, Texas, the reforms that have been done in Alabama, I'm in favor of about 90% of those. And I know the holding back third graders created a lot of consternation in Mississippi. But if you are promoting third graders into fourth grade who can't read, you're not doing them any favors. You're not helping their families, you're not helping their communities, and most importantly, you're not helping those kids. So although in many respects that's the most controversial, I do support it. It does take an investment into phonics. Now, Larry's gonna tell you that the state's made a big investment in the science of reading. Mississippi spent $150 million. We've spent $6 million of state funds. That's why our literacy scores are not budging. We're capable of doing anything that Mississippi can do. We're capable of doing anything Alabama can do. The big difference is we have not had bold leadership like Governor Tate Reeves in Mississippi, who has just said, we're going to get this done. That's what I'll do.
Governor Roden, you're next, so you have the standard 1 minute.
Well, I think it's ironic and a typical D.C. solution. You can throw more money at it, you're going to get better results. And that's not the case. And we're going to prove that. And our test scores, like so many other states, have been below what they should be. We're by no means the worst, but that's not an excuse. And we are moving to the science of reading and putting phonics back in the classroom. And we're not going to do what a number of other states is by lowering the bar. We're going to improve standards. We've changed the standards for math as well. We're getting away from Common Core and moving to common sense and providing a curriculum that the parents can once again understand what their children's homework is and help them succeed.
Speaker Hansen.
Thank you. Well, real quick on the last issue, because my name was mentioned once again. You know, when Toby Doden talked about his property tax plan at our last Kelloland debate, Kello did a study of their own on that plan, and they said, I think it was a direct quote, the plan doesn't even come close to working. And so I think when we're talking about these policies, we need to be realistic with the people about what we're proposing. Now, when it comes to education, you know, I've said in the past, I think we need to do a couple things. Number one, support our teachers. And number two, when our superintendents fail our schools, they need to be held accountable. Those are the first two things that I'll do when it comes to improving our education results. Beyond that, I want to put parents in the driver's seat. I think parents know best how to educate their own children. And whether that's in one of our public schools, or whether that's a non-public school or homeschools, parents ought to have the freedom and the financial freedom to choose the best education option for their kid. I will empower them to use their own tax dollars to use the education option of their choice. I'll do it with education grants on day one, and we'll expand that from there. Parents are going to be in the driver's seat again.
Mr. Doden.
Well, I mean, listen, K through 12 education is our second largest line item on the budget. I think it's just north of $2.1 billion. And I've talked about this 100 times. When you dig into the money and you look back at that education budget, it has grown exponentially over the years, and the money hasn't gone where it was supposed to go. It's gone to peer, it's gone to the bureaucrats, it's gone to the administrators. It hasn't gone to the classrooms, it hasn't gone to the rural schools, and it hasn't gone to our teachers. The people up here on the stage with me have been talking about low teacher pay for 2 decades. Yet our teachers in South Dakota are still 47th out of 50. Our teachers need to get paid more money. Listen, we have had so many young teachers leave the teaching profession because they couldn't afford to have a family and buy their own home. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could pay our teachers enough like 30 and 40 years ago when the cost of living was lower and their salary went farther? My administration is going to make South Dakota affordable again, and we're going to pay our teachers a fair wage, and we will see the reading and mathematics scores increase.
We are at our closing statements portion of the evening already. That's 2 minutes closing statements. We also drew the order for closing statements before tonight's broadcast. Governor Roden, your 2 minutes starts now.
Well, I appreciate you all being here, and the ability to share my record and some of my thoughts. I'd close with this. I'm the only candidate up here that's made my living in agriculture. I'm also the only candidate that's ever wore the uniform of the United States military. And to me, that's a big deal. And I'm also the only candidate that's been the governor of the state. I am focused on keeping South Dakota strong, safe, and free. We're strong. We had the largest property tax cut in the history of the state, and our economy is leading the nation. We're safe. Crime is down by huge numbers, and our Operation Prairie Thunder, which we implemented about a year ago, is still working. And we're free. We're the most pro-life state in the nation. We're the most pro-Second Amendment state in the nation. And if you'll give me the privilege to continue being your governor, I will work every single day to keep South Dakota strong, safe, and free. Thank you again, and may God bless you. May God continue to bless the great state of South Dakota.
Up next is Mr. Doden. 2 minutes.
Well, I did have some prepared closing remarks for tonight, but I'm not going to use them. Standing up here for an hour again, listening to the politicians argue back and forth, I got to be honest with you. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I ask myself, Toby, why did you get in to this political nonsense? But then I remember. I remember that I'm still the same young boy that watched my father become disabled. I remember I'm the same young boy that watched my amazing mother, Arliss, work a factory job and a second shift at a nursing home to put food on the table. And you better believe I remember that I'm the young man that married my high school sweetheart and then spent years fighting to pull my family out of poverty, fighting to build amazing companies in this state, amazing teams, and building winning teams, winning cultures, and prosperity for every person around me. Those are the reasons that remind me why I'm here tonight. And those are the reasons that remind me why I got into this fight. We don't need another 20-year politician as our governor. We need a leader, somebody that's going to go to peer and actually fight for the people of this state. In 30 years of fighting to take my family out of poverty, fighting to build amazing companies, and fighting for people all across this state, I have never, not a single time, backed down. And I'm not starting now. I'm going to win this race, and I'm going to peer to fight for you, the people of South Dakota. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you.
Speaker Hansen, your two-minute closing statement.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you all for watching the debate tonight. You know, I got into the crazy political arena to fight for you, to fight for your family, and to fight for the conservative Republican values that we hold dear and that make South Dakota great. Like you, I'm sick of rolling the dice on politicians who say one thing and then get elected and do another. And I'm sick of people who are obsessed with big money and power and tip over to the special interests and the big money lobbyists. I'm done with all that. If there's one thing that sets me apart from anybody else in this race, is that I have been in the arena. I have been down in the trenches. I have been fighting for you and for your family, and I have been delivering on the biggest issues that we have faced as a state. When families were getting crushed by high property taxes, I led the fight, and we passed the largest property tax cut in state history. When abortion up to birth was on our ballot, I stood up. I stood for life in this state. We defeated Constitutional Amendment G, and we kept South Dakota pro-life. I think you need to ask yourself, who was there for you? Who was there for your family? Who showed up? Who showed up when private property rights were under attack in this state and an out-of-state foreign-backed company tried to come in and take your land and use it for a Green New Deal scam carbon pipeline? Who was there to stand up for your kids and your culture when woke leftists were trying to come in and do, you know, fairness in women's sports and have boys and girls sports and inject cross-sex hormones into minor kids? Who stood the gap and was there for you and for your family and for our culture? I have been in this fight. I have led the way on those issues. I'm ready to take that fight to the governor's office to lead with faith and family and freedom. And if you want a governor who's rooted in biblical truth and conservative values with fidelity to our constitutional rights, then I would ask for your vote for John Hansen for governor.
Congressman Johnson, your two-minute closing statement.
21 years ago, I was in Pierre for work, and I got the call. Jacqueline was in labor, and baby number one was on the way. I hightailed it back to Mitchell, getting there just in time. And before too long, I was holding little three-week-early Max in my arms. And at that point, of course, everything changed for us. Max was followed by Ben, and then by Owen. They are good young men, and we want the best for them. They're going to make up their own minds about what to do and where to live. But I'm a little selfish. I want them here. And that's why I'm on this stage tonight. I want my kids. I want your kids here. I want them to choose South Dakota because South Dakota is the best place for them to build their futures. They deserve a South Dakota that doesn't settle. They deserve a South Dakota whose leaders aspire to more than steadiness. You know, South Dakota, we really are at our best when we dream big. Under Bill Janklow, we wired every school, we saved the railroads, and we turned our little state into a national banking hub. All of those successes, they made us richer, they made us stronger, they gave our kids opportunities. I know we're a small state, but we are capable of greatness. Now, greatness doesn't happen by accident. It takes energy and vision. Energy and vision that not every candidate has. And that's why I'm asking for your vote, so that together we can build the South Dakota our kids deserve. and I can't wait to get to work. Thanks.
I want to thank each and every one of our candidates for your participation. I also want to thank South Dakota Newswatch and Alexander Rafat for their contributions to this debate, and thank you, our audience, for submitting many more questions than we were able to get to tonight. For analysis of tonight's debate, you can tune in to the Dakota Political Junkies podcast hosted by SDPB's Lori Walsh, available wherever you get your podcasts. The primary election is June 2nd. Early voting begins this Friday, April 17th. The deadline to register to vote or to change your party affiliation is May 18th. I'm Jackie Hendry. On behalf of all of us here at SDPB, thank you for watching.